All right, Tavos, good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Chaf Ches 28, and we are picking up at the Mishnah. Hopefully you did your homework yesterday. Thank you to Moshe for posting it. And we're picking up at the Mishnah. Nabosai, so today, I'm sorry? All right, if not, you have some time. Long day today. Yeah, that's what it was. One of the many things. Okay, so let's begin. Shiva Kani Menorah Ma'akvin Zedzeh. So now remember again, we began the topic yesterday with different things, really already 2 days ago, different things that are ma'akiv. In other words, that when you have certain things which have multiple parts to it, the absence of one part compromises the remaining parts. So here we happen to be speaking about the menorah. Shiva Kani Menorah. The seven branches of the menorah. Ma'akman zez. In other words, if you're missing one branch, it's actually an interesting hashkafic idea in life. In general, the way we approach life is that you don't need perfection. We don't aim for perfection. We don't expect perfection. So even if you don't have everything, something is better than nothing. Yet, in some things in life, you either have everything or you have nothing. It's an interesting hashkafic and halachic dialectic. When is something better than nothing, and when is the absence of everything essentially equivalent to nothing? And the truth is, again, we know this. In certain times in life, you need everything. Certain times in life, you just need something. So when it comes to the menorah, Shiva Kani menorah, so when it comes to the seven branches of the menorah, Ma'akvin zedzeh. If you're missing one, you're out of business. Shivan erosel, ma'akvin zedzeh. Similar to Gobose. So the kanim are the branches. The neroseha are the lamps, are the actual receptacles which hold the oil and the wick. Ma'akvin zedzeh, shtei parshio sheve mezuzah, ma'akvo zuazu. The two parshios and the mezuzah, shema, v'hayoim shama'a, are ma'akiv one another. If you're missing one of us, say there's no such thing as a mezuzah with just one parsha. I can only get one parsha. No, one parsha is better than nothing. No, if you don't have both, then you don't have anything. Afilu kas ksav echad ma'akvim. The truth is, the Mishnah says, even if you're missing one letter from your mezuzah, ultimately, again, it's ma'akiv. Which I will say, again, is such... I was so astounded by this when I was preparing this because, again, the whole motif of Yamim Noraim is what? Just do something. Just do something, right? Because Baruch Hu doesn't need you to be perfect. So, but yet, again, you see that certain things require perfection. Certain things, if you don't have it all, you don't have anything. Dalet Parshah Shabbat Tefillin, the four Parshios in Tefillin, Ma'akvin Zuazu, are Ma'akiv one another. Afilu Ksav Echad Ma'akvon. And the truth is, even if you're missing one letter, it compromises the kashrus of the Tefillin. Dalet Tzitzios Ma'akvon Zuazu, Sha'ar Ba'asun Mitzvachas. So also, this is very interesting. The four tzitzis, literally the four tzitzis, the four fringes, the four strings on the four garments of my tzitzis are ma'akev one another. Why? Because all four are considered to be one mitzvah. Therefore, the absence of one compromises the mitzvah. Rabbi Shmuel says, Arba asan arba mitzvah. Rabbi said, this is actually quite riveting and fascinating. Rabbi Shmuel says, no. In fact, all four tzitzis are four mitzvahs. Which means what? Each corner is its own independent mitzvah. So what's the nafkamina between Rabbi Shmuel and the Rabban? What's the nafkamina? What's the practical difference? If you're missing one of your tzitzis, I'm literally missing the strings on one corner. According to the Rabbanan, you can't. You're out. Meaning you can't wear that garment because that is an un-tzitzist garment. An un-tzitzist garment. Bishmael says no. All right, okay, you're missing one. So you're missing one mitzvah, but at least you have three other mitzvahs. Incredible. Says Gemara, my time. So from where do we know that the seven branches of the menorah? Ultimately, again, I'm asking, I will tell you something very interesting here, which is, you know, there is a fundamental machlokes as to what the menorah looked like. A fundamental machlokes. So, for example, now when you go to Yerushalayim, so they used to have, you know, the Temple Institute made the menorah that is ready for the third Beis HaMikdash. So if you'll notice, again, now it's standing, it used to stand right by the steps down to the Kotel, now it's standing by the Churva Shul. Right? So if you notice, again, that menorah has curved branches. Many of the Mefarshim, the Lubavitcher Rebbe actually has a whole piece on this, which is absolutely incorrect, that the branches of the menorah were made like V's. like these. And in fact, that is a, oh, okay, so you have a picture of it here in the Gemara. So that is a, just, I'm just pointing, it doesn't really matter. It's immaterial for our conversation today, but just understand that machlokes absolutely exists about the actual nature of the menorah. Which is, I'll say, the first time I saw the one from the Temple Institute, I was very surprised. Maybe they made two, just in case. I don't know. Just we'll see what Mashiach Paskin's like. But it is a raging machlokes, a poskim, in terms of what the actual menorah looked like. Okay, in any event, my time up. So we'll say, so from where do we know that the seven branches of the menorah are ma'akev? So the Gemara says, haviyaksiv. Remember again, because the Torah uses the lashon of haviyah, of Rashi says, kaftoreim v'kanosam imenu yihiyu. The lashon of yihiyu. Whenever you see, we saw this already yesterday's daf, whenever you see the lashon of yihiyu, yihiyu means what? It must be in its complete and absolute form. And if you're missing any one part, ultimately, the item is compromised. Ten Rabbanon. Menorah haisa ba mina ashas u mina zav. So we'll say, now we're going to get into an very interesting sugya. So the Braisa says, the menorah came from the ashas. What's ashas, Rabbi Osai? Ashas is the same word as miksha. It had to be made from a block of gold. Look at Rashi. Mina ashas, asiyasa chaticha shlema, umaka bakornus, achietzimena kol keles. So we'll say, so remember, if you and I were making a menorah, what would you do? Essentially, you take a bunch of pieces of gold and you would solder them or somehow put them together. That's not the halacha. The halacha is that the menorah has to be made mina ashas. Mina ashas means you have to take a block of gold and you have to chisel out of the menorah from the block of gold. Uminazov. Furthermore, the menorah had to be made from gold. Asa min hagurtos, psula. But I will say, if you made the menorah from gurtos, so Rashi points out, gurtos means zav shavur. So if you made the menorah from pieces, then what? The menorah is pasul. Misharmine matachos, but if you made the menorah ultimately again from different types of metal, then ultimately it's kasha. So we'll say it's a very interesting halacha. So if halacha lemaisa, you made the menorah from pieces, not from miksha, not from eshas, the menorah is pasul. Even though we said before the menorah has to be made from gold, if you didn't make it from gold, but you made it from other metals, it's kosher. Very interesting. Maishna min agurtos psula. Why is it that if you make the menorah from independent pieces of gold, then it's possible? Tichsiv miksha vavia. Because they both say, ultimately again, when it talks about miksha, it uses lashon of vahaya. Vahaya means absolute. It must be miksha. Shamine matachos nami zav vavia. But it says by zav, also the lashon of vahaya, which teaches me that, or it should teach me, that zav, gold, should also be an absolute requirement. Amar kra te'aseh. We'll say, when it comes to the fashioning of the menorah, use lashon of te'aseh. L'rabos shamine matachos. And from that we learn that it can be made even from what? Even from other types of metals. I ve'ema l'rabos gurtos. I don't understand. Why don't you say, maybe te'aseh doesn't come to tell me that what? You could use other types of metals in the menorah. Maybe what does it come to teach me? Comes to teach me maybe you could even use pieces of metal, pieces of gold, independent pieces to make the menorah. Lo, sagadaitcha da'amikshak sivavia. The Gemara says no, because the lashon of, excuse me, ve'ema l'rabos gurtos. Lo, sagadaitcha da'amikshak sivavia. So we'll say ultimately again, the lashon of Haviyah ultimately is written by Miksha, which tells you that by Miksha, the one piece of gold is an absolute. Te'ase namia Miksha ksiv. One second, the lashon of Te'asa, or the word Te'asa, which you're using to darshan, that other types of metal can be used to create the menorah, is also written by Miksha. Miksha, Miksha la'akev. The word miksha is repeated twice, both say to teach me that what? That it's ma'akev. Namely, that although you can make the menorah out of different kinds of metals, the menorah must be made from miksha. So it's actually very interesting. So whatever type of metal you are using to fashion the menorah, it must be one block of material. Different materials, different types of metals permitted, one block of material. Zav, zav, nami la'akev. But the word zav is also mentioned twice. Say that comes to ma'akev to teach you that you can only make the menorah out of gold. I said, the Gemara says, hi, mai. I amrit bishlama min agurtos psula mishar minei matachos kshera. So if you want to say that's what? If you want to say that making the menorah from individual pieces of metal is possible, but from other types of metal will be mutter. Hainu zav, zav, miksha, miksha, l'drasha. Then I use zav, zav, and miksha miksha for other drushas which we will discuss. Ela I amrit minagurtos ksheira, mishamine matachos psula. But if you want to say ultimately again that you can make the menorah from individual metal pieces, and from right that that's kosher, by using other types of metals as possible, then zav zav miksha miksha my darshes bay. Then what exactly do you do with zav zav miksha miksha? What are you darshing with it? So the Gemara says, my drusha, by the way, what drusha are you referring to? What is the drusha of zav zav miksha miksha? Here we go. Tesanyo. Kikar zav tar ye asa osa. So the pasuk says that from a kikar zahav tar, so kikar is an amount, right? From this amount of gold, from this amount of pure gold, you shall make it eskol akela ma'ila, all of these utensils. What do we learn from here? Ba zav teaches me as follows. If the menorah is made out of gold, then ba kikar. Then I will say, here's what's interesting. The obligation to make the menorah of a kikar measurement only applies when the menorah is being made out of gold. So ba'zav ba'kikar, ena ba'zav ena ba'kikar. And as we've already established, that what the menorah need not be made from gold. If it's not made from gold, but instead made from another metal, then the kikar obligation does not apply. I.e., you can make the menorah larger, you can make the menorah smaller. Givi'ah. Kaftoreha uperacheha. So we'll say these are the different parts of the menorah. So the gviyah are the cups, those are the actual receptacles which hold the oil and the wick. Kaftoreha literally means like the buttons. Uperacheha and the flowers. These refer to the different ornamental accoutrements of the actual menorah itself. So what's the halacha? Bazav, if the menorah is made out of gold, bag vim kaftor uperachim. Then I'll also have all of these menorah accessories. Eina ba'azav, if the menorah is not made out of gold, eina ba'gviim kaftorim uperachim. Both said, this is really amazing. So what you see is, there are tzvei dinim by the menorah. There is the menorah's hazav, so when it comes to the golden menorah, this has a variety of different requirements. It has to be made from kikar, certain amount of gold, and it has all of these adornments that are part of it as well. The cups, the buttons, and the flowers. If it is not made out of gold, it must be made out of a different metal, still has to be miksha, made out of one block of material, but what? Does not have the weight requirement of kikar, and does not have the accoutrement requirement of the gviim, kaftorim, and parachim. Ve'emanami ba'azav ba'akanim, ena ba'azav ena ba'akanim. So this is amazing. So why don't I extend this drasha? Maybe it's only when what? When it's made out of gold that there's an obligation to make branches. But if it's not made out of gold, there's no obligation for branches. Now, this is actually very interesting. What the Gemara is suggesting is, we know the menorah has seven branches. Maybe the obligation of seven branches is only when it's made out of gold. Maybe when it's not made out of gold, there is no obligations for any branches. In other words, even if you make one pole, it's enough. To which the Gemara says, no, as Michael just said, hahu pamut mikri. Then that would be called a candlestick. That's called a candelabra. In other words, that's not a menorah. A menorah, by definition, is something that has multiple branches. So what the Gemara is saying over here is, you could tell me that the weight measurement changes, you could tell me that the accoutrements change, but the branches can't change because it's the branches which ultimately make it the menorah. V'zeh masa menorah miksha zav, ba'zav ba'miksha, ena ba'zav, ena ba'miksha. I said, why don't you say as follows? Why don't you say, same idea, zeh masa menorah miksha zav, the menorah has to be made from a block of gold. Why don't you say, when it's made from gold, that's when there's the obligation of miksha. In other words, when do you have to take it out of one block of material? When it's made out of gold. If it's not made out of gold, then maybe there's an obligation of miksha. To which the Gemara says, miksha the sefer lamai asa. So ultimately, again, if that's the case, then what does the miksha at the end of the pasuk come to exclude? Rabbo said, this is really amazing Gemara. So I'll tell you what it comes to exclude. Lemi'uti chatzotros. It comes to exclude the trumpets of Moshe Rabbeinu, that they need not be made miksha. They need not be made from one block of metal. Disanya, Bosse, get ready for this. Disanya, chatzotros hayu ba'in min ha'eshes min ha'kesef. The trumpets, remember again, This is a reference. Trumpets were used in the Beis HaMikdash as well. This is really referring to the trumpets of Moshe Rabbeinu, which were primarily used, well, they were used for a variety of purposes, most notably to gather the people and to also signal when the camp was moving. They were later on used in the Mishkan as well, but even before the Mishkan they were used. So the Chatzotzros of Moshe Rabbeinu, ultimately again, came from a block of silver, and also, came from a block of material, and from silver. Asamin hagur ta'os ksherim. If you made it from different scraps of metal, or different pieces of metal, i.e. not from one block, it's kasher. Mishamine matachos psulim. But ultimately, again, if you made it from metals other than silver, it's possible. So we'll say, so you see that the chatzotzros are what? Almost like the opposite of the menorah. By the menorah, you can make it out of other metals, but you can't make it out of pieces. By the chatzotzros, you can make it out of pieces, but you can't make it out of anything other than silver. Why is it that you can't make the chatzotzros out of other types of metal? Because we'll say the Torah used lashon of vahaya by the obligation of kesef. Remember again, as we've seen already multiple times, the way the Gemara understands the word vahaya is vahaya creates an absolute obligation as explicitly stated in the Torah. Therefore, because it says vahaya by kesef by the chatzotzros had to be made out of silver. It says the Gemara, min hagur tos nami miksha vavia. But one second, if that's the case, the Torah uses the lashon of vahaya by miksha, when it says miksha. So we'll say, if that's the case, then what? Then we should say that the chatzotzros also have to be made out of one block of metal. Why should you be able to cobble it together from multiple pieces? To which the Gemara says, Miet rachmana gabi menorah miksha hi. Hi v'lo chatzotzros. Because we'll say, interesting enough, the Gemara makes a drasha, that by menorah it says miksha hi. Telling me what? The menorah has to be miksha, but the chatzotzros do not have to be miksha. So we'll say this is really quite amazing. So you're beginning to see over here the evolution of the halacha by the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. So we've seen already now the menorah has to be made miksha. That apparently is an indispensable part of the menorah. It has to be made out of a block of material. By menorah, the wiggle room you have is what type of metal you use. We're going to get into this more. By chatzotzros, it doesn't have to be made from miksha. It can be made from a number of pieces of metal put together. But what? It must be silver. Ten rabbanim. So also here we go, weiter. Ten rabbanim. Kol ha-kelim, amudeis. Sha'asa Moshe. We'll say, get ready for this. Amazing. Kol ha-kelim, sha'asa Moshe, k'sherim lo. All the utensils that Moshe Rabbeinu made were fit for use under Moshe Rabbeinu and were also fit for use in future generations. However, with one exception. Chatzotzros ksheros lo, upsulos ledoros. So this is amazing. The chatzotzros that Moshe Rabbeinu made were only fit for him, for when he was alive, but were not fit for future generations. They had to make their, Yahushua, whoever else, had to make their own chatzotzros afterwards. My time, well, what's the reason for this? So again, it could be because by the chatzotzros, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, make for yourself chatzotzros. Maybe we dashen from that. Dafka, the chatzotzros you make Moshe are good for you, but they are not good for future generations. If that's the case, elameata, vasisa lecha aronet. But one second, the Torah uses the same lashon of Osayah Vasisa Lecha by the Aron, by the Ark. So you're going to tell me Halchanami de Lecha v'lo l'doros? You're going to tell me that Moshe Rabbeinu made an Ark that was good for him, but not good for his generations? Obviously not. Ela ilaman de Amar Lecha Mishelcha ilaman de Amar Kiviyachol Bishelcha ani rotze Yoser Mishelohem. See, Rabbi Osayah, the idea over here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe is one of two things. Either it means that Moshe Rabbeinu made the chatzotzros from his own money, and therefore, again, they were uniquely suited to him. Or it means that what? Or it means Moshe, even though this was made from communal funds, I count it as if you made it, and therefore they're uniquely related to you and cannot be used in the future. Then I will say, now again, what's the air? Let's finish up. Hi, nami miboyle lahaki. So hi, Hai nami mi boile lahi, shiny hasam, d'amr lecha, kra lecha lecha, trezimni, ase lecha, v'hayu lecha. So we'll say, so what's unique, just from an understanding perspective, What's unique about the Chatzotzros? So the Netziv actually has a piece on this where he explains that the Chatzotzros of Moshe Rabbeinu were a fundamental representation of his unique leadership. Moshe Rabbeinu was exceptionally unique in the history of the Jewish people. You know, we say, Lo kam b'Yisrael kimoshe od, right? There was never another Navi. And the way we understand it, as the Torah says, Asher, because he spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, panim el panim. So we often think that the uniqueness of Moshe Rabbeinu was in the form of his Nevuah. But in fact, and it's if other Mefarshim bring this down as well, the uniqueness of Moshe Rabbeinu was in the fact that he wore two dramatically different hats, which was, he was the Navi, but he was also the Melech. Moshe Rabbeinu was a king in many respects. So because of that, those Chatzotzros were a physical manifestation of his monarchical identity. We know that, by the way, because remember, again, this the Mefarshim bring down in Vayelech Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu goes, next six parashas, he goes and he visits all of Klal Yisrael on the last day of his life. Why doesn't he sound the Chatzotzros and have everybody come to him? Because on that last day, he was not Melech. On that last day, he almost reverted back to an ordinary identity. So you see, the Chatzotzros were a manifestation of Moshe Rabbeinu's Navi and monarchical identities. No one else had those two identities coalesce within them. Moshe Rabbeinu was unique. And therefore, as such, the Chatzotzros of Moshe Rabbeinu were good for Moshe Rabbeinu, but could not be used in future generations. Tani Rav Papa, Brave Rav Chanin, Kamid Rav Yosef. Here we go, back to Menorah. Menorah. So number one, menorah has to be made from a block, uminazov, and from gold. Asa shel kasav ksheira. So we'll say this is amazing. So okay, so first of all, the good news is we pretty much are already agreed. Menorah has to come from mikshas. It'll come from one solid block of metal. Fine. Furthermore, the chatzilah, you should make it out of gold. If you didn't make it out of gold, asa shel kasav made out of silver ksheira. It's good. Shel baatz. We'll say baatz is tin. Shel aver. Right, lead, shell, gistro, other types of metals. So what's talocha? Rebbe posel. Rebbe says, no. The most you could do is you can make the menorah out of silver. You can't start making it out of tin, out of steel, out of lead. That you can't do. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Machshir, shell eats, vishal etzem, vishal zchuchis. I'm sorry, I read that wrong. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Machshir. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says, no. Even if you made it out of these other types of metals, it's kasha. So everyone agrees, gold is good. Everyone agrees, silver is good. What happens if you make it out of other types of metals? So Rebbe says it's pasul. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says it's kasha. However, shal eitz v'shal etzem v'shal zchuchis, but if you make the menorah out of wood, out of bone, or out of glass, divrei hakol psula. Everyone agrees that what? The menorah is pasul. Amalei mai daiteich. So he said to him, right? He said to, so this is Rav Yosef said to Rav Papa, so tell me, what's your logic? Amarle, bein mar u bein mar, klali u prati darshi. The idea over here is about at the core of this machlokis is how you darshim psukim. Mihu, meaning, mihu, mar savar, mar prat mufura shamateches, af kol shamateches. So we're going to explain this klalu prat in just a moment. So rather, one opinion says that just as the prat, Rav Yosef, remember again, klalu prat means I have a general statement, I have a specific statement, just as the prat is explicitly articulated as a metal, af kol shamatechas, so too that comes to include all metals. So as we will say, the prat over here is zav. So one opinion holds that just like zav, so what's unique about zav? It's a metal, that's the prat, so therefore the klal comes to modify the prat. Just like gold is a metal, so too, what's fit for menorah? What's fit for menorah? Any type of metal. Umar savar maha prat mufurash davar choshev. The other opinion says, no. The prat of Osai is not just zav. The prat is zav. Zav is not just the metal, but what is zav? What is zav? A choshev, a metal. So therefore, what? Af kol davar choshev. So too, again, you can make the menorah not just out of any metal, but it has to be a metal that is choshev. So what's an example of a metal that's choshev? Gold, obviously, right? And silver. But the other types of metal, ultimately, again, will not be chasha. This is amazing. Amalei, sami didach mikame dides. He says to him, I would kindly suggest that you remove your version in front of my version. There was another way of saying, I think you're wrong, and I think I'm correct. I'll tell you the way to learn this halacha. This sanyo. Here we go. Kli sharis shasan shal eat. So we'll say, what happens if you make, now this is not menorah. This is in general a service utensil, a kli sharis that was made out of wood. Rebbe posel of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Machshir. Rebbe says it's posel, and Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says it's kasher. So my kamifkis, so we'll say, what are they arguing about? Rabbi Darish Klali Uprati. So Rabbi Darshan's Klali Uprat. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda Darish Ribui Umeuti. So we'll say two different exegetical principles, which we're going to see yield two different conclusions. Here we go. Rabbi Darshi Klali Uprati. So Rabbi Darshan's Klali Uprat. Vasisa Menoras Klal. So we'll say the Torah says, you shall make a menorah. That's a klal, a general statement. Zahav Tar. Then it says, make it out of pure gold. Prat. Ultimately, again, that's a limiting phrase. Miksha te asa menorah, chazar vekala. So we'll say you should make it a miksha, one block of material. That's another klal. So we'll say, what do you have over here? Klal uprat uklal. A general statement, a specific statement, and another general statement. So really, it's better to say like this. An inclusive statement, a limiting statement, and another inclusive statement. So we'll say, what do you do with the klal uprat uklal? So you know this, right? Because you see Rabbi Shmuel Lomer every day with incredible and intense kavana. You see the tears coming down during Rabbi Shmuel, right? So first of all, say first wide line of Chav Chesam days. So we have a klal uprat uklal. Iata don ela kein haprat. So we'll say when you have a klal uprat uklal, the prat comes to modify or comes to shed light on the klal. Ma prat mufura shamatechas. Just like ultimately, again, the prat ultimately is metal. Af kol shamatechas comes to teach you that what? That you could use any type of metal. Any type of metal. And therefore, again, I will say, this will not only be the halacha. This will not only be the halacha. And therefore, again, that's why Rabbi says, if you make a klisharis out of eights, it is puzzle. You can make it out of any metal you want, but you can't make it out of wood. Rabbi Yossi Rehuda Darshi, Darish, Ribui Umeute. So Rabbi Yossi Rehuda Darshan's a Ribui Anamiya. So I'll say, so Ribui would be more like an amplifying phrase versus a limiting phrase. So the Gemara says, how do we darshan it? Vasisa menoras riba. So we'll say you should make a menorah, that's a ribui. Zav tar miet. Miksha te asa menorah. Chazar v'riba. Riba u miet v'riba. So we'll say it's amazing. They're darshaning the same phrases, they're just applying different exegetical principles. What happens when you have a ribui, a miot, and a ribui? Riba hakol. That comes to include everything. Umay Rabbi, so we'll say, what does it come to include? Rabbi Komili, it comes to teach you, that's what? You can make the menorah, and by extension, the klishares, out of any type of material. So we'll say, that's why, again, he'll hold, that you could even make the klishares out of what? Out of eights, and you could even make the menorah out of eights and anything else. But it has to exclude something. Umay miyet, miyet shel cheres. It comes to exclude, we'll say, earthenware. Comes to exclude earthenware. That halacha lemaisa, although you can make the menorah out of eights, you can make the menorah out of wood, you can make the menorah out of all types of metals, you can even make the menorah out of glass or out of bone, you cannot make it out of earthenware. So the Gemara says, Adrabo, somebody didach mi kamei didei. So he says back to him, no, I think my version is more correct than your version. To which the Gemara says, lo, sakadaitcha desanya, ein lo zahav, mevi af shal keasef shal nechoses shal barzo shabedil shal afares. So the Bryce said about, say, if you don't have gold for the menorah, you could even bring silver, you could even bring copper, you could even bring steel, you could even bring lead. Right? You could even bring lead or tin. Rabbi Yossi Yehuda machshir af b'shal eitz. Rabbi Yossi Yehuda says, you could even make the menorah out of wood. V'tanya idach, and I'm about to listen to this. This is actually an amazing braisa. Lo ye'osa adam beis t'bayis tavnes heicha. We'll say, this is amazing. Let's say a person says, you know what? I love the Beis HaMikdash so much. I mean, you're in the Beis HaMikdash for so much. I'm going to make my home in the image of the Beis HaMikdash. It might not fit with the rest of the block, but I'm going to make my home in the image of the Beis HaMikdash. So we'll say, so the halacha is, you're not allowed to do that. Lo ye'asa adam dayis tavnis heichol. You can't make your home look like the heichol. Ach sadra keneged ulam. You can't make your backyard look like the Azara. Chotzer, I'm sorry, you can't make your achsadra, you can't make your entryway look like the ulam. The ulam, Rabbi said, is the part that extends like perpendicular to the heichol. Chotzer keneged Azara. You can't make your backyard look like the Azara, your front yard look like the Azara. Shulchan keneged shulchan. You can't make your table look like the shulchan of the Beis HaMikdash. Menorah keneged menorah. You can't make your menorah look like, you can't make a menorah. Looks like menorah. So that's very important. We know this. That's fine. Chanukah, right? We have an 8-branch menorah. You're not allowed to have a 7-branch menorah. Aval osu shal chamisha, vishal shisha, vishal shmona. Vishal shiva, lo ye aseh. Va'afilu mishar mine matachos. And I will say, you can't go ahead and make a 7-branched menorah, even if you're making it out of other metals. Now, we'll say, now, what do we learn from this? So if we look at Rashi, Rashi is right across from the last of the short lines in the Gemara. V'shal shiva karam lo yasa afilu shal shamine matach, u'sheno zav, mishum dedom l'shal mikdash, sha'af hu kasher b'shamine matach. So we'll say, the Gemara understands something very important from this, which is, I'm not allowed to make a menorah out of seven branches, even from another type of metal. Why not? What do you see from this? Because technically, other types of metals are kosher for the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash as well. So this is a raya that although, of course, the chatchil of the menorah should be made out of gold, if you make it out of other metals, it's kosher as well. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Omer, Av sha'itz lo ye'aseh, kiderech sha'asu malchei Beis HaShmonah. Rabbi Yosef, this is amazing. Rabbi Yosef says, you're not even allowed to make a menorah out of wood. Out of wood. Who makes a menorah out of wood? The Chashmonaim made a menorah out of wood. They will say, get ready for this. Amrulo, Misham Raya. So they say to him, from the Chashmonaim bring a Raya. So first of all, what they're really saying to him is, Rabbi Shalom, you're actually historically incorrect. The Chashmonaim did not make a menorah. So they will say, this, by the way, is riveting, because Rabbi Yosef Yehuda seems to, there's a historical machlokis over here. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda seems, see, one thing we know which is clear, you know, I have mentioned this, we often think that Chanukah, when the Chashmonaim came back to the Beis HaMikdash, so the one thing that was missing was the oil. There was something else which was missing from the Beis HaMikdash, which was the menorah wasn't there. Remember, again, the Greeks were no fools. They carted off everything that was of significant value. The only reason they didn't take the Mizbeach, they took the Mizbeach Hazav, they took the golden altar, the incense altar, the Mizbeach HaChitzon was there because it wasn't made out of pure gold, so they left it there. But the menorah was gone as well. It wasn't just the oil that was missing. There was no menorah. So the Shaila is, we know the Chashmonaim did something. We also know that they definitely did not immediately construct a golden menorah. How do they didn't immediately construct a golden menorah, Bosai? Because there's one obligation of the menorah that everybody agrees with, which is miksha. It's got to be a block, which means that is an avoda, right? That's not a Sunday's project. That is an avoda to fashion the menorah out of that block. So we know they definitely, they did something. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says they made a menorah out of wood. So from here you say, if the Chashmonaim did it, it must mean that what? Technically speaking, a menorah made out of wood is good. They say, no, you're historically incorrect. The Chashmonaim didn't make a menorah out of wood. This is amazing. Misham Raya, Shipudim Shal Barzel Hayu. Abu said, do you know what they used? Do you know what they used in the first year or that first moment when they came back to the Beis HaMikdash? They made a menorah out of Shipudim Shal Barzel, of metal poles. Abu said, you know, some of the Mefarshim bring down that what they used was their spears. They fashioned their spears into the branches of the menorah, and that was the first menorah, the very utensils that they used ultimately again for the victory of the Jewish people. They use now to kindle light for Klal Yisrael. Remember, you're thinking about tumah, different things. Everybody's tummy. That's the whole discussion by Chanukah. They didn't need pure oil, tumah hutra, but sebor. But again, it sends like a chill down your spine to think about this. That the Chashmonaim came in. There's no menorah. They take their spears. They take the shipudim shel barzel. They make a menorah. So we'll say, listen to this. Chazru heshiru, when they had a little bit more money, asom shel kesef. They then went ahead and made a menorah out of silver. Chazru veshirim asham shel zav. Then only sometime later on, we'll say, now we don't know, I don't know how long this took, but apparently they started out with the Shifudim Shal Barzel. They then had a little bit more money at sometime later on. They then went ahead and what? Made it out of silver. And only sometime after that, ultimately again, made it out of gold. Now we'll say, but the point for our purpose is what do you see? At every step of the way, what was the menorah made out of? What was it made out of? Metal. Metal. So we'll say this is up there for this approach says you can make it out of any type of metal that you want, but lemaisa again it's gotta be made out of metal. Amar Shmuel Moshe the Sabbath. So we'll say, just so you know, at the end of the day, that's how we paskin. We paskin that halacha lemaisa, the menorah must be made from Rama paskins. We must be made from miksha, from a solid block of metal, and ideally lechatzkil it's made out of zav. But any type of metal ultimately again will be kosher. We'll discuss in a little bit greater depth in terms of what type of metal you have to use. But one thing is clear, which is any non-metallic substance will be invalid for use of the menorah. So the Gemara goes weiter. We'll say, let's go a little bit further. So the Gemara says as follows. So Amar Shmuel Mishmei de Saba. So Shmuel said in the following, Gov Hashem menorah, Shmona Asar Tfachim. So we'll say the height of the menorah is actually amazing. The menorah's height was 18 tfachim. 18 tfachim. Haraglayim va'aparach gimel tefachim. So we'll say ultimately again, the base and with its flower. So again, we'll say we'll discuss again that there are different ornaments at every stage of the menorah. So the base and the initial flower were three tefachim. Utfachayim. Utfachayim chalak. So we'll say ultimately again, then you had two tefachim. Chalak means we'll say empty, which means there are two more tefachim of stem. Thank you. Of stem extending upwards with no ornaments on it. Utfachayim chalak. V'tefach shebo gavia v'kaftor uperach. And then there was another tefach, and on that tefach you had a cup, a button, and a flower. So we'll say those refer to the menorah accoutrements. Utefachayim chalak. Another two tefachim of stem, which were then empty. V'tefach kaftor, and ultimately again, then there was a tefach, in which there was the kaftor, which was the button, the type of ornament. Ushnei karnim yotzi menu. And you had two, I guess, what do we call those? I guess stems also, right? Two branches, thank you. Two branches extending out from there. So the Gemara says, Ushnei karnim yotzi menu, echad elach ve'echad elach. Each branch going in a different direction. V'nim shachin va'olim kineged gofa shamanorah. And I will say those branches extend upward, pointing upward towards the height of the menorah. Again, I will say, pointing to the idea that the menorah was made like a V, as opposed to more like, I guess, like a U form. V'tefach chalak, then there was another tefach of stem that was empty. V'tefach kaftor, and then there was another tefach that had a kaftor on it. Ushnei kanim yotzi mimeno echad elach ve'echad elach. And ultimately, again, then you had another tefach with two more branches, extending upward, each one going in a different direction, extending upward. Nimshachin va'olin kineged gova shamanora. The tefach chalak, so we'll say, see, the menorah just followed this pattern. Then there was another tefach that was empty. The tefach kaftor, then another tefach that had a button. Then, ushnei kanim yotzi mimenu, echad elach ve'echad elach, nimshachin va'olin kineged gova shamanora. Then ultimately, what? You then have two more branches extending upwards, each one extending in a different direction, each one extending upwards, going towards the height of the menorah. Utfachayim chalak. And ultimately, again, then you had two more tefachim that were empty of anything. Nishtairusham gimel tefachim sheba. Then I will say you had three more tefachim of stem, shebahem gimel gevin v'kafter v'ferach. And I will say in those three tefachim of stem, ultimately, again, you had three cups, kaftor and the ferach, a button, and ultimately the flower. All right, Rabbi, so we'll stop over here for today, and in Meretz Hashem, we'll pick up with this. We'll pick up with this Gemara tomorrow. Shkoyach. Beautiful.
All right, would that please remove all your Sephorim? They're going to break down the room.